thank our brother again for the warm words of welcome to the pulpit here in Perth. And if you could take your Bibles with you, we're turning to two verses I would like to read, found in 1 Peter chapter 2. Two verses found here in 1 Peter chapter 2. And with God's word open before us at 1 Peter chapter 2, the two verses is verse 9 and 10. And 1 Peter chapter 2, with God's word open before us, let us briefly bow before the Lord, seeking his face, conscious our brother will be coming to preach the word. And therefore, we'll be brief, asking God for his help, even now, stilling our hearts in his presence. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we ask of thee that thou wilt bless the words of thy mouth. We thank thee for that access that we have, the privilege of calling upon thy name. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, and then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And we simply bring back your truth before thee. Therefore, do as thou hast said. Help us now, empty us of self and of sin. Fill us full of the Holy Ghost and with power. And all that is said and done, may it go down as we were singing earlier, to the glory of thy precious name. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained a mercy. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. You see, those men and women, God has been pleased to choose from all eternity. He calls in time, by his Spirit, working in due season, he convinces them of sin. He shows them themselves to themselves. He leads them to Christ, working in them those great twin truths, those gifts of repentance and faith. He converts, renews the will, and sanctifies them. He keeps them by his grace from falling away entirely, and finally brings them safe to glory. You see, those who have received Christ are a highly privileged people, because all true Christians are a chosen generation, who make up one family under one head, a people distinct, set apart from the common world. They are of another principle and practice, which they could never be if they were not thus chosen in Christ to be such and sanctified by his Spirit. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And therefore my testimony is owing to what God has done. It's owing to what Christ has done. Chosen not for good of me. Wakened up from wrath to flee. Hidden in the Saviour's side by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. I owe much. I owe much because I have been purchased by blood, the Lamb's blood, precious blood, redeemed out of the slavery and the guilt of sin by means and merit of the atonement made by Christ on my behalf. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, heading in the Saviour's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. I was born into an unconverted household. No Bible read. No devotions, an ungodly home, and whether born into a Christian household or an unconverted one, I was born simply the same as each person in this meeting, whether it be from the minister, whether it be the cradle in the mother's arms, I was born exactly the same, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Born a child of wrath, born without God, born a stranger to grace and to God. I was the eldest of a household with a younger brother and a younger sister, and I can honestly say that I was far from what men would call a good example to them. The first time I heard the preaching of divine truth was at the age of 14. I went along with a man by the name of Ryan Smith. He would do a lot of work with Chris Killen, known in Northern Ireland, two saved men. And the Lord had saved him when I was 14. And the Lord gave him a burden to reach those who were without Christ. And, well, he knew that I was, as to speak, the ringleader of where I had been at in the estate. My life, my soul, my work, my heart was into the bonfire there in a loyalist estate called Ballykill. And that's what I lived for. I lived to collect wood and to see it being burnt in one night. And it just shows you the folly of the ignorance and an unconverted state, putting all that energy and things into something that is very frivolous, very, very silly. To see it all burnt in one night. And anyway, he lived across from the bonfire, and the Lord burdened his heart for my soul. And he asked me to go along to a meeting with him. And I remember the mates sort of laughing. He's asking you to go to church, like, sort of thing. You'll hardly go. And knowing that they were laughing, I says, I'll go with you. And little did I know of the gospel, but I remember sitting in the middle of the balcony that night, and God speaking directly to me, telling me that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved. I went along to that meeting in Randallstown Free Presbyterian Church, and I remember sitting in the top of the balcony, in the middle of the balcony, and I wasn't concerned of those around me. God was speaking to me, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And yet, to my shame, I rejected the free offer of the gospel and continued on in the ways of the world, falling deeper and deeper into sin. And friend, that's how it will be. To reject Christ, it will be the downward spiral. Things will get worse and worse and worse. At the age of 19, I became very ill. Through pride, I wouldn't go to the doctors. Those who I ran with, those who I used to run with on the Broadway that leadeth to destruction, they knew that there was something wrong. They could see that I was ill, physically ill, at the point of death. And through pride, I said, "Oh, I'm okay, I'll be dead on, I'll be grand." 2 weeks later, I was rushed into A&E, nearly dead. And I remember in the edge of the hospital bed, crying onto the Lord. But I was only using the Lord, in a sense, because I knew the situation I had been in. And the work of grace wasn't wrought within the soul that night. But God preserved me from the grief. And I recovered from hospital. And the Lord preserved me in the sense I didn't go to hell. And it would have been just for God to cut me off right that night and send me to a Christless eternity. Not for simply all of my sins, but simply even one sin. One sin was enough to send me to hell. And in God's mercy in that sense, well, he preserved me from the grave. And so I recovered, and in God's providence, I was working in a sports shop at this time, and I hated the place. I was only there in order to earn my keep by the sweat of my brow and pay my bills, and so I kept the job up. And in God's providence, that same man, Ryan Smith, who took me to the meeting at the age of 14, came into that sports shop, and he asked me, "Could I paint?" And I says, I can paint, no bother to painting. And I was only saying it because I hated the job I was in, and little did I know really about painting. And I handed him a notice in that day, and he probably got a real shock. He says, "He'll probably not ask that that again." Because I handed my notice in that day, and I began working with him that Monday. And that man lived before me. And this is why I tell you these things, to encourage you, you who are saved, to live before those who are ungodly, to live before those who are outside of Jesus Christ. Simply your walk and talk is a testimony before them. And I knew that there was something different about that man's life compared to mine. I knew that he had something that I was always searching for. And yet I was searching in the world and I couldn't find it. And that man's life was certainly different compared to mine. And being wise, he would ask me, would I come along to church with him? Because he knew that I would hear the truth. that I would know of my need of Christ, the need of the forgiveness of sins. And he asked me, would I go to church with him on a Sunday? And I says, well, to myself, the man's been nice enough. He's gave me a job. I'm working with him. He's been telling me things of the Bible, my need of salvation each day. I'll go along, sure. What is there to church? I'll go along on a Sunday. And little did I know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And under deep conviction of sin, knowing that I wasn't right with God, the Lord saved me on the 1st of May 2006. Mr. Greer had the great joy of pointing me to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But yet, for a long time I struggled with the assurance of salvation. This would continually be in my mind. Coming up from an unconverted household, I would continually say, am I really saved? How could God save such a sinner as me? How could he deal with such a wretch as me? An ungodly wretch, brought up in an unconverted household. And these things would continually flood my mind. Am I really a child of God? And Mr. Hughes, Noel Hughes, the minister of Ballyclare Free Presbyterian Church, there was a mission in Ballymena, and these things were unknown to my friends within the congregation. And I remember this continually, battling with this continually, and unknown to those around me. And Mr. Hughes, he was preaching that night, and yet it wasn't unknown to God. It wasn't unknown to God. And the word came with much power and much assurance. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, it's not what we have done. It's what Christ has done. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Concerning Bible college, I would do everything in my own power to run away from it. I remember the compulsion and the word and the Lord continually laying it in my heart, and I would do anything in my power to run away from it. I would always make these excuses. Sure, he would be better to go into college. This person would be better. I would always point the finger, but pointing away from myself. And I can honestly say, like Paul, I am less than the least of the saints. Is this grace given unto me, that I should preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? It's not a false humility. I honestly feel it. And, well, I would do everything in my power to run away from Bible college. And, yeah, I went to Mr. Greer and talked with him. And he said, well, Brian, you would have to set entrance exams. For he knew I was at school, but I didn't do school. And anyway, I laughed at him. I says, exams? Exams, I can't even write properly. And because I would have wrote in capital letters. So then, in order to set English language, I hope he feels straight away, because I'm writing in capital letters. Anyway, the Lord helped me to get through all them exams. And I remember saying to myself, oh, well, sure, you don't have to go into Bible college even if you've sat the exams. And I would try to make these excuses and palm it off. Sure, you don't have to get any Bible college. And the Lord would continually bring it before me, and I was still running away from it. And I remember Mark Telford was preaching a message on Jonah. Jonah running away from God. Noel Shields, who was in this country preaching before, he preached at the Castlewell weekend, the weekend straight after Mark Telford had preached on Jonah. He preached the exact same message. Wrong way, Jonah. I left a book from the library in Castlewell on weekend. What was the book? Wrong Way, Jonah. And the Lord was continually speaking through his word and providence. And so I was still trying to fight this and put it off. And I'm glad looking back on those things, because in terms, now that I'm in Bible college, I couldn't be any more sure. And looking back on it, I'm glad of those things. And in terms of, I was working at a man's house painting and decorating, and I remember sending a message to a number of my friends and saying to them to pray specifically that the Lord would give me a word concerning going into Bible college this year when I was going in. And so 2 days later, I was working at this house, and I asked the man, he was a Christian, and I asked him, is a certain someone still considering going into Bible college? And it was as if he shunned the question. And he goes, what about you? And I was taken back with this. I goes to myself, how does he know? And he further went on to say, I know a minister who prayed for 3 promises. And as he waited a long time for that third promise, but on that third promise, he went forth. You see, the Lord had already given me 3 promises, and I was praying for a fourth. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of an hard language, but to the house of Israel. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. First day in Bible college, I was sitting there. Why was I running away from this? That peace that passeth all understanding. Simply knowing that I was in the centre of God's will. Friend, perhaps like me, you're in the meeting. Of course you are, you're here. But you're yet not saved. I simply point you to the one who can. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And therefore my testimony is owing to what Christ has done. For I am what I am by the grace of God. May the Lord bless these few thoughts, what he has done for his own name's sake. Amen.